back, everyone. It is another episode of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com, an association in unison with the Uncrowned Network, Ariel Helwani, Yahoo Sports. I'm Dan Canovio. He is the champ, Chris Algieri, coming to you on Sunday, August 23rd. Happy birthday, Bob Canovio. Good weekend of fights. Was it a good weekend of fights? It was an interesting weekend of fights. I just returned from, where was I? Temecula, California for the TikTok show. And I got home in time to see Teofimo Lopez become a three-division world champion on a mediocre fight, a mediocre card. It was a long travel. Kind of lost my voice a little bit. Not feeling 100%, but it doesn't matter. We power on, Chris. How are you?
I'm gonna go back on something you said. Happy birthday, Bob Canobio.
Legend.
Absolute legend of the sport. CompuBox. Historian, godfather of the punch stats. Happy birthday, Bob. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't, Bob's the man.
What was his birth date?
23rd. August 23rd.
August 23rd. A lot of good August birthdays. My brother was August. good. All right, cool. Well, happy birthday, Bob. Yes, the fights this weekend, I don't know. I'm not as negative about the fights. I thought the Teofimo fight was good. Maybe I'm.
You thought it was good.
I did.
It just didn't catch fire. Like it we kind of knew what it was coming in. It was two counterpunchers. It was a guy coming off of a 15-month layoff in Rolly versus a guy that just got shut out fighting for the first time at welterweight. Neither guy throws more than 45 punches a round. And I kind of knew that heading in. I wasn't expecting a gaudy war. I wasn't expecting a war. From the fifth round on, after the fifth round was sick. Like, you know, bloodied, Teofimo wobbled, Rolly's catching him.
Where was
anything after that? Like, the fight, I was like, okay, fifth round, interesting, blood, adversity, let's go.
Dan, it was sick comparatively. It was not a good round. There was no good rounds that were like.
That was the best round of the fight.
No, it was the only thing that happened during the fight.
Exactly.
Because Rolly Romero's doesn't fight. The guy doesn't throw punches. No, he does not throw punches.
Doesn't know how to box. Doesn't know how to come forward.
When you have a guy like Teofimo Lopez, who is a pure counterpuncher, walking you down, jabbing you, and hitting you with right hands to the hip bone constantly, the best punch landed all night long was a right hand to the hip bone from Teofimo Lopez. It was the most consistent least scoring shot all night long. Teofimo Lopez dominated that fight. It wasn't close. I don't know what the fuck the judges were looking at. The fight was not close. Rolly didn't throw any punches. He lost that fight. I'm not saying Tio didn't win the fight. Rolly lost the fight.
Yes, I do agree with that. I put out a video afterwards and I was like, congratulations, Teofimo. You're a three-division world champion. You're the better boxer heading in. You've been through more than Rolly. But let me get to Rolly. Like, dude, you were the harder puncher in this fight. You were losing the first four rounds. I was waiting for you to land one of your patented check hooks, and you did in the fifth round. And you bloodied Teofimo, and you had him wobbled. And what did you do from that point on after? You threw 20 punches in the sixth round, and you threw no more than 33 in any round thereafter. I had Teofimo sweeping every round from the sixth on, and I totally agree. This was not a close fight. I don't know what Glenn Feldman was watching. He's normally a very good judge. 114, 114. Are you out of your mind, Feldman? 116, 112 was too close. 115, 113 was too close. If Teofimo didn't win the final couple rounds, we're looking at a draw? Like, are you kidding? The scorecards were so bad last night. The first fight of the night was atrocious, too, with the scorecards. And this is Las Vegas. This is supposed to be the best commission in boxing. This is where the majority of the fights are happening. And we're just trotting out Patricia Morse Jarman, Glenn Feldman. How old are these judges? Like, we need a clean house. Because if this is happening in Vegas, that's not a good sign. Like, I expect this to happen in, like, Ohio. And, like, when you do fights in these random states that don't normally do boxing. The judging is so bad across
everywhere. I don't know if I want to blame Vegas. And, like,
well, who are we blaming then?
I might be reaching, but I feel like it's always PBC. I feel like PBC fights, when they do all these fights, why are they all...
PBC want Rolly to win?
No, they want all the fights to be close. They don't want blowouts. They want every fight to be like, listen, look at Errol Spence and Danny Garcia. That wasn't a close fight. Errol Spence and even Sean Porter. It wasn't a close fight. Like, he dropped him at the end. Yeah, it was competitive. These are not split decision fights. Why is every PBC fight a split decision? Every single PBC fight is a split decision. Why? They're not close fights.
I haven't thought that deep.
Look into it. I'm telling you, bro.
I'm not saying you're wrong, because there's usually, like, there's multiple solutions to a problem. My first thoughts go to, let's get better judges in here. It's an old boys club. I know there are some women judges too, and they're pretty atrocious. Adelaide Bird, Patricia Moore, Charmin. I say it's an old boys club because that's the term. Because, like, we're not bringing in any new judges. There aren't any, like, 25-year-old guys out there going, I want to be a boxing judge, man. I want to go around to these small fights and judge it so I can
make no money.
Yeah, make 500 bucks. But when you're at the top, you make a pretty good amount of money. Point being, it's the same
thing
over.
Do you? What do these guys get paid?
I think they get, like, anywhere between $5,000 or $6,000 for a weekend. For, like, a Friday. They get in Friday. They leave Sunday. They get good lodging. They put them up well.
It's just way $5,000
to watch a fight. It's not to get dressed up like we do. Not to speak. Not to think about what you're going to say next. Go in there
and have
no accountability. If I suck, if you have a bad call or I have a bad call, I'm going to hear about it on Twitter. Glenn Feldman,
you will. I won't because I don't read them. I don't read Twitter.
Oh God, my Twitter was firing this weekend after hanging out with
in a good way or a bad way.
I think it's good. Anytime they're talking, like, I'm posting content with TikTokers and Sophie
all news
Rain.
Is good news.
Right, exactly. This is boxing. It's controversial sport.
All right, so you keep saying Sophie Rain. I don't know who this person is. Am I just too old to understand who this person is?
It's probably
is?
Good you don't know who Sophie Rain is. I'm very, very happy that you don't. She is a influencer. She is a TikToker. She's an OnlyFans model. She is one of the most prolific OnlyFans models.
I would not know who they are.
She reportedly has made more than LeBron James did last year. That's her thing, is that she's brought in close to $40-50 million. And I had very low expectations.
God bless her.
I know. She wanted to learn boxing this weekend. And I put out an educational video where I taught them the jab. I taught them the hook. I taught them shoe shining. I thought I was helping, you know? I thought I was educating the youth. And it got millions of views right now on TikTok. Got some good feedback. Got some people saying, Dan, like, what are you doing? Like, it's an assignment, guys. It's called versatility. You throw me
– is that what it's called?
Yeah, you throw me a TF female, I'll interview a TF female. You throw me a Manny Pacquiao, we'll sing and we'll make great content. You throw me 5 influencers, TikTokers, I don't know anything about boxing, I'll make sure we get a lot of views and I'll make sure we'll make it fun. And I kept it clean, and I kept it classy.
So this is – okay. So I'm looking
You pulling up Sophie Rain?
I have just pulled up Sophie Rain because I don't –
She's 23 years old, contrary to popular belief.
What do people think she is?
She looks very young.
She looks 9.
She does. Sweet girl. I'm telling you, sweet girl. I had very low expectations for this TikTok event in terms of – how bought in they were going to be. She was willing to learn. She wanted to learn.
She was doing face to face. Oh, not kissing. Oh,
you see me in there?
Oh, there's Marquez thought that was hilarious. That's awesome,
bro. That's the funniest part of the whole thing. Marquez laughing at it.
There was a guy with an Argentinian jersey in there. The Marquez. Dude,
Raul Marquez is a savage because this guy.
No, I've hung out with him.
He goes up to Sophie Rain with his phone on FaceTime with his son. And sticks it right in her face and goes, yo, Gio, look who I'm with. And luckily, this girl has probably...
For the record, his son is a very good world class fighter.
Yeah. And these girls have seen everything. They've been approached by tons of aggressive men. Not saying that Raul was being aggressive, but it was just so funny to watch.
He was being a Mexican man.
Yeah, he has no shame. He went right up to her.
Same thing as an Italian man, by the way. I'm not singling out Mexicans. I'm Italian man, exactly.
Just any man in general. Like, he pulls out the FaceTime. The FaceTime with the son and puts the phone right in her face. And she's like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah, your dad's cool. And I was just sitting there cracking up watching. It was like an experiment. It was so funny.
Well, better you than me, buddy. Because I don't want to be around any of that.
It was something. We'll talk a little bit more about it at the end because Amanda Serrano did fight. And she did win. It was controversial. But back to to Teofimo, and the majority decision obviously was a joke. I thought he won going away. I thought he won the first three or four rounds.
I thought it was 10-2, literally.
Yeah, 9-3, 10-2. You can make a case for that. But that being said, I didn't think Teofimo looked out of this world. So I thought it was a decent performance from Tio.
I had some conversation with my friends today, and they were saying the same thing. I'm missing the forest for the trees or the trees for the forest, whatever. But like, I thought he looked good because he did something we never see him do. He was aggressive. He had to get behind his jab. He had to actually control the center of the ring, and he did. I thought he showed himself to be the boss right away. It looked
and
like
he didn't go overboard either. Like I know what you're saying. Like, he kind of fought within his means. He fought.
He did enough to win every round. He did enough to win every round. Listen, guys, we talked about this early in the week. How was he going to win this fight? Decision. Was he going to win handily? Yeah, and he did. The fight went exactly the way we expected. I guess because he didn't do anything spectacular, we're like, oh well, it wasn't that good. I disagree. I thought it was a very good, solid performance. I thought that he boxed really smart. I thought he did things that he needed to do better in being aggressive because he's a pure counterpuncher, and he was fighting another pure counterpuncher, and he decided that he was going to lead, control the center of the ring, and I thought he bossed Rollies. I don't think that fight was close at all.
No, it wasn't close at all, and I'll say this about Teofimo. He's been through more. He's the more well-rounded fighter, and that showed in this fight. With
very,
the bloodiness,
very good.
With
very,
the
very
blood
good.
And everything, he didn't panic. He got
clipped. Whatever, it happens.
Right, but I'm saying he didn't panic after the blood. I thought, he, if anything, he fought even more smart from there on out. But, we have this expectation for Teofimo. We've seen him be spectacular in there. We've seen him look outstanding. We've seen him have knockout power.
He's so undersized at 47.
I was going to say, those days are gone. Like 35 Teofimo is gone. 140-pound Tio, we saw a guy that really struggled to get knockouts but still had good performances like the Josh Taylor one. Like, I thought we were going to see even more dominance in this fight. I just thought he was fighting on like third gear. Like, I was looking for another gear. But then again, you have to realize who you're in there with. You have a guy, and it's hard to look good against Rolly Romero. He did not engage. I just told you, he threw no more than 33 punches in any round after the fifth round. He threw 20 punches in round six. And you talk about Teofimo, who's not usually a guy that's going to fight on his front foot, who's not usually a guy that's going to power with a jab. And he landed 62 jabs in this fight, Teofimo. It was a career high. Tio landed as many jabs, 62, as Rolly did total punches, nearly. Rolly landed 73 total punches. Tio landed 62 jabs alone.
This is my argument. The fight was not close. Not
close. It was not good either, I don't think.
No, but like,
I wasn't entertained. I don't think people were happy with it.
That was Rolly's fault.
Yes.
It wasn't
Tio. He had no remorse afterwards. He had nothing to say afterwards. He had his
he just walked out of the ring.
Dazed look on his face as his corner was trying to tell him, not his dad, Salas was telling him, we're not going to the Hall of Fame like this, throw more punches. He just wasn't, nothing was registering with this guy.
Not engaged. He was super unengaged. He was not switched on, as the term we use. He was not switched on at all. And I thought Tio was switched on the entire time. You could see him. He was very locked in.
He had more
right
to lose.
Away.
You could tell he wanted it more.
Well, no. He actually had the Hall of Fame on the line. And he will be in the Hall of Fame now. He is a three-division world champion. He is going to walk into the Hall of Fame, Teofimo Lopez, off of that win.
Yeah, and the Hall of Fame stuff is crazy.
Yeah, okay, it is. But also, he's a three-division world champion.
No, I get it.
And he was undisputed at 135. There is no shot he doesn't walk
into the Hall of Fame. Undisputed at 135.
Disputed, undisputed, why? Because he
never fought Haney.
Okay, but he beat Lomachenko better than Haney did.
He was the first to beat Lomachenko, and I saw an interview you did where you
think
believe
he's
that
the
he
only,
beat him.
I think he's the only guy who beat Lomachenko.
Right, like the demonstratively beat him.
I think he's the only guy who beat him.
No, so. I thought Teofimo wanted it more. I think he went in there and took it. He took the fight more serious, obviously.
He's just so undersized at this weight, and he's not the – I mean, he's a great athlete, no question. He's got balls. Tio's a fighter. He's not physically gifted enough at this weight anymore.
So then what is he then? Like, I don't...
He's just good.
Thing is,
he's just good.
I mean. Like, he's good. Like, I don't think we're going to see any more spectacular performances or fights moving forward from him. I think his most spectacular days are behind him.
Yes. He's just good. He's going to struggle every fight. That cut, I watched that cut happen, and then he get rocked with the right hand, and I was just like, I'm like, yeah, this is where T.O.'s at right now. I feel bad because I know how good he is. But I'm like, at this weight, I'm like, you're just dealing with guys that you can't, you're not going to be able to level up above them like you used to.
Right.
And even Rolly is a very small welterweight. Like, he's not a real welterweight.
So I want to get to that.
Could you imagine Teofimo Lopez with Errol Spence in his prime?
That's what I mean. Like, those guys are real welterweights. Like,
yeah, no.
Don't even bring up like Tommy Hearns and those guys in the '80s. Even like the crop, your generation of your era of welterweights, like Thurman, yeah. Porter, would
huge.
Maul Teofimo.
Maul him.
Errol Spence would probably maybe stop him.
Errol Spence is the biggest welterweight other than Tommy Hearns I've ever even seen. Like,
would you say he has that exoskeleton?
I said he was like a Terminator. I call him the Terminator because he had an exoskeleton because of how. I mean, I hit him with a right hand and hit his collarbone, and I thought I punched a brick wall. And I was like,
bro, that's so funny because I remember that didn't move at all. Random. I see him in Vegas at a casino, and he had been out of the ring for a long time. And I remember like I put my arm around him to take a picture,
and you're like,
Jesus
okay.
Christ, yeah, like, this guy is built out of stone.
Yeah,
he would have destroyed Tio.
He feels like he's built out of like coiled like. Iron. Like he's just right. Yeah.
So he's undersized, Tio. He's in a division, his third weight class. He won't go any higher than this, but he is a champion today because it is watered down. It is
but he's also in a weight class where he can actually, like, Liam Paro is small for welterweight. Stay away from Devin.
Well, let's get to that right now. The welterweight title right now. The welterweight picture right now is very interesting. WBO is Devin Haney. WBA is Teofimo Lopez. WBC is Ryan Garcia. IBF is Liam Paro. So Ryan Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney are all welterweight champions right now at the same time in the year 2026. Ryan has obviously fought Haney. Will they ever fight again? Tio has not fought Haney. Tio has not fought Ryan. The fights aren't as big as they once were. Like 5 years ago, this was the time to make the fight. Maybe 3 years ago. They're still big fights. They're still young. I'm still hopeful they get made. And they have to get made at this point because it's all there. Like, his unifications are there. Like, Teofimo, whether you think he's going to be spectacular moving forward or not, if he's undersized or not, can now fight Ryan Garcia for a unification. Can now fight Devin Haney. Like, that's big. Like, boxing needs that.
As much as I am a Teofimo stan, Devin Haney is a guy to beat at welterweight. It's becoming
more clear and clear, right?
He's the king of the welterweight division. And when he beat Brian Norman, I said it on our show that day. I'm like, oh, he's the guy to beat at 47 now. Ben is just not on the level. I also don't think he's going to be there any longer than this fight. He might not even make weight for this fight, honestly.
I wouldn't be shocked.
He doesn't look like
he's going to. He already said he's not fighting. This is his only fight at 147.
Which is insane to do. He said it 2 months in advance. Ryan probably knocks his head off in
How do you think
rounds.
Ryan does against Tio?
I think that's a fight.
I always wanted to see that one.
I think that's a fight because obviously Tio has the better boxing ability, the athleticism. He's obviously a way smaller guy. He's not the power puncher. Ryan is the power puncher. But like, when do we see like, all right, so when you got a guy like Ryan who is a puncher and he has to catch you, like, Ben gets caught. So, like, I can see Ben getting iced. Tio doesn't get caught. If Tio boxes for 12 rounds, which we've seen him be able to do, we just saw him do it the other night against a puncher, against a guy who beat Ryan, yeah, he could beat Ryan. He should beat Ryan, honestly. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm talking about it, I'm like, yeah, Tio should beat Ryan. Not saying he will, but I would favor Ryan against Tio. I think Tio would have more trouble against Ben than Ryan.
Tio would have more. I just don't know. Like with Ryan, we'll get into a different debate here. But with Garcia, it's like, is he going to come out the way he did against Barrios, where he was like a complete fighter who was throwing the jab, strong?
It's so hard to say because Barrios was so limited.
Right, and he was ripe for the taking.
Yeah, and he's complete opposite of either Tio or Ben, because Barrios, there was zero explosion in him at all. He was a second gear fighter. He fought in second gear at all times. Ben fights at explosive list, and so does, I mean, Tio's super athletic as well. So very, very different fight.
Not saying this fight could be right away, but if, you know, this is why if Haney would have fought this year, we could have maybe gotten a Tio Haney fight. I don't know if it would happen at the end of the year because it's already September, basically. I don't know if Tio can turn around that fast, but like Haney has to fight someone here. Like, we're now into August. Tiafimo's got a belt. Ryan's fighting in September. So we're already looking towards next year, once again, for any type of unification between the three most, the biggest names at welterweight. The Paro situation, being the IBF champ, comes with its own limitations there. Like, no one wants to fight this guy. No, I don't know. The IBF was
No one wants to fight who? Paro?
The IBF title, not just Paro, just like Crocker was almost forgotten about. Paro beats Crocker. I think it's partially to do the fact with, even though in a unification though, that the rehydration clause goes out the window. So that's okay. Not the reason why.
Hey, IBF, I know you watch our show. Get rid of the 10-pound ultimatum.
No, it's not in there. And it's only there. It's not there in unifications.
Understood. Hey, IBF, get rid of the ultimatum plus 10 pound. It makes zero sense.
Right. It should always be a percentage.
It shouldn't be nothing. But if you're going to do something, it should be a percentage. It's right. So stupid to do a 10 pound absolute number. Makes zero sense. How does a 115 pounder, a junior bantamweight, get plus 10? And then a light heavyweight, 175, gets plus 10? Makes zero sense, guys. Use your brains. IBF, you're listening. I know you're listening. You watch our show. This is not... makes no sense.
Oh, I've been saying it for a while. It's one of the dumber rules in the sport, and it just needs to be tweaked.
Throw it out or make... I mean, no one else has it. Throw it out. Right. But if you're going
to
keep it...
It wouldn't be on the line. If Ryan Garcia wants to fight Paro or Haney wants to fight Paro, they won't have that in there, but it is something that
limits... But that's also stupid. That's also right. Stupid.
It's like, why not... I guess they just can't institute that rule with the other organizations.
Because it's a bad rule. It's dangerous. It's also dangerous. You guys, you're putting guys in danger. So completely get rid of it. Or 10 pounds? How about 10%? 10% of a weight class. 147 means you can get 14.7 pounds. Plenty. That's plenty of weight to get a gain back. Doesn't mean you're going to gain that. But at least you have room. You're not going to damage yourself. I cannot speak more against this. And I like the IBF. I like what they do. They stick by their guns. It's a very, very bad rule, and it's dangerous.
Another storyline in this fight was Teofimo Sr. What was he going to do in the corner? Like, his son almost gave him like an ultimatum going forward. Like, you got to bring something as the trainer. And once again, it was pure chaos in his corner. There was a lot of voices in there. There was a lot of, you gotta hit him. Still said it. Fimo gets the win. I don't think he'll change anything up there, but I thought that was a little interesting storyline there. There was still chaos in that corner of Teofimo's.
We talked about this last show. I think there is definitely space for other people to be there, other voices, other things to work on. But Tio is so damn good.
Milton LaCroix was in the corner for this time.
I know him. Okay.
He was in the corner, but he was yelling out stuff. At one point, like, they went to the corner. Senior didn't know what round it was. He was asking. LaCroix's talking over Senior. They're all shouting at the same time. You got to hit him, Tiffy was saying. I am hitting him.
They need a calm voice. They need a calm voice. You got to have the balance in there. And it's a shame because you're dealing with such a talented athlete and he's getting pulled in so many directions. And it just always seems like he's falling back on just how good he is. Tio's so good. He's so good top to bottom. But he also has his own mental things to deal with. And that's why we get losses against Kambosos. That's why we get... you know, underperformances against a guy like Shakur. I think he could have fought a much better fight against Shakur because I do think he is that good. But also, I mean, yeah, it's Shakur. But like, Shakur shouldn't 12-0 you. I think Tio's better than that. He shouldn't get 12-0'd by anyone, Shakur included.
Because I'm seeing a lot of that today, too. It's like people are trying to diminish Shakur's win over Teofimo because Teofimo, like, didn't look, like I said, didn't look outstanding against Rolly.
Again, I'm the only person out there going, like, I thought he actually fought really well.
No, I saw some respectable voices say, like, they were, like, pretty impressed with the front foot, the jab, the, you know,
He made an adjustment that he's never been able to do. That's the, right. The most difficult thing for Tio was to be offensive. He's not good at it.
Well, he didn't throw that many punches, and he also didn't land that many either. It was just that Rolly was so dreadful.
No.
He only landed 124 shots.
Disagree.
Well, he threw 180 more to Teofimo.
But he controlled. So, Dan, if you look at what a ring general is, the way that Tio controlled the center of the ring, if you watch the flow of the fight.
Right.
Because neither one of these guys are going to throw a lot of punches. We know that. Tio controlled the center of the ring almost the entire fight. He got backed up a few times when Rolly actually tried to throw punches, which was very, 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 very limited. But I would say 90% of the fight, almost like we're watching soccer, like who's controlling the ball, Tio was in control.
Mm-hmm.
He controlled the space in the ring. He controlled
especially
the center.
The second half of the fight.
He controlled the center. No, he did in the beginning too. He controlled the center of the ring. He bossed. I thought he bossed Rolly.
And the fact that he did that after that fifth round, like, I don't understand. Rolly's going to kick himself.
It didn't slow him down at all. Absolutely.
I just can't believe that Rolly didn't. I know he's not a front foot fighter. I just can't believe that in the sixth round, he only threw 20 punches. Like, you got to just attack. Like, figure out a way to attack. I know it's not your game. It's not your thing, Rolly. But what you did is you lost. And that shouldn't be your thing.
He couldn't, Dan. I'm telling you, from a fighter perspective, Tio is that good, and he's too good.
In the sixth round, like, you don't think that Rolly should have came out and threw more than 20 punches? That was well below what he was doing in any other round, Rolly.
Malik Scott said it on air. He goes, someone asked, like, oh, don't you think Rolly should have thrown more? I'm like, well, he said, no, he's going to be more open for Tio's counters, 100%.
Bro, that was a fight low in the sixth round for Rolly.
Yeah, well, he knew Tio was
dangerous. You decide to throw a fight low when he's bloodied and you had him wobbled?
He has boxed Tio in the gym. He knows how good of a counterpuncher Tio is. He knows if he opens up and he gets clipped, he might get actually really hurt.
Well, now he doesn't have a belt.
He took no chances with Tio.
Right. I thought he should have took a little bit more of a chance.
I think that he was domesticated in the gym and he brought that into fight night.
Well, there's a whole argument out there too to go, no, you want, this is why friends shouldn't fight.
No, you have no choice. I fought a couple of sparring partners. I fought a couple quote unquote friends.
You sure you want to watch friends fight? This is what you're going to get. This fight was rigged. It was a wink. The worst.
I don't think the worst takes
come out.
I don't think so. Tio was trying to whip his ass.
100%. Teofimo was looking to win. I don't believe it was rigged. I don't believe that at all.
No, in the lead up though, you could tell by the way they were talking because. Rolly's was saying, oh, he's like, he's my little brother. Meanwhile, he's only like 18 months older. He's like, oh, he's my little brother, blah, 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 blah. Tio the whole time was like, he's going to try and knock my head off. I don't give a shit about, he did a podcast with Dan Raphael. He was like, he's going to try and knock my head off. He's going to try and be the first guy to knock me out. He's like, we're not friends. That's what I wanted to hear. Because when I fought a couple of sparring partners, I wouldn't even mention their name. I wouldn't give them the benefit of my name recognition against them. Oh, you want to fight me? You are my sparring partner, bro. I used to pay you. Now you want to beat me? You want to step over my name? I'm not even going to mention you.
That's the way to do it.
We're going to fight. I'm going to whip your ass. I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to keep moving. You will be nothing off of this. That's how I treated sparring partners. When I fought.
Interesting build-up. Teofimo gets the win. He's now a champion. I want to see the bigger fights. Now is the time. Make them before they turn 30. Make them now. Learn from your mistakes, whether it's Ryan Garcia, whether it's Devin Haney, anyone out there. Teofimo's got a strap now, and they're all going to be looking his way. All in all, didn't think it was a strong card at all. It was one of the weakest PBC pay-per-views in a while. Yoenli Hernandez... you called it. Francisco Verón was going to put up a good fight. Like Hernandez came out gangbusters. Came out gangbusters, yo-yo. And then I think got, I wouldn't say exposed, but he's like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
I think he got exposed.
I wish there was another word for that. Exposed is so aggressive. But like by the end of that fight, I was like, all right, maybe this guy is not like the boogeyman. Maybe he slides right in with the rest at middleweight.
He has to, and it's fine. That's fine. It's a tough weight class, and he doesn't have that many fights. So like, okay, you're exposed in that you're not as far along as everyone says, which is fine. So the exposed is not an aggressive word. But also, Verón's very, very good. But also, guys, this fight was at 160. Verón's a 54-pounder. So what happens with a real 60-pounder with huge, Yo-Yo?
He's huge.
Yeah, he didn't look that much bigger than Verón. And Verón's really...
In the back, he did. Like,
yeah, you know, he's got a lot of muscle, but Verón's way taller. And Verón's a real 54-pounder. Like, he's actually... He's fought all of his fights on Pro Box TV as a 54-pounder. But I know this firsthand because I deal obviously with ProBox TV. Verón went to Gary Jonas and said, "I don't care. I need big fights. I need to make more money. I want to fight the toughest guys around."
He looked good, and I would definitely want to see him fight again.
Looked very good. I think he really showed how good he is. Remember, he's an Argentinian Olympian. Has really good wins.
I definitely want to see him fight again.
Very, very good. I would like to see him back up 54.
Yeah.
I know it's a really tough weight class, but...
he could be a spoiler.
Yes. That's what he's always been.
I don't know. I just was... I just think we got to put together some better cards. I think if you're going to be charging the $500 that the zone charges and $80 if you don't have the ultimate, you got to put together a better...
What was it? $79.99?
Yeah.
On top of the...
No. If you have the ultimate...
No, but on top, the regular subscription, not the ultimate. Like,
oh yeah, I don't exactly know how that works. There might be two paywalls, but I believe I don't know for sure because
I think it's $250 or two something for the regular DAZN,
and then you have to pay $80 on top of it.
Uh huh.
Good gracious, got to do better. We need better. It's been a strange year. I know now all the promoters are under the same roof, and for the most part,
and the cards get worse.
I'm going to give them a little bit of a grace period here because they're just getting everything going. Top Rank, PBC, Matchroom, Queensberry, Golden Boy, all in the same roof. But look, we got to get this going soon. We got to get better fights. I've enjoyed the TNT stuff. Those have been good, but we need more, way more consistency because now you have everything there underneath one umbrella. Like, there's no reason why we shouldn't have stacked cards if you're going to charge exorbitant fees.
Well, ProBox TV starts our championship series next week.
It's $5.
$5. That card is crazy. Lester Martinez, Luka Plantek, that's a 12-rounder for the WBC interim title. You got the return of Najee Lopez versus undefeated Juan Carrillo. You got
Cardenas?
Ramon Cardenas on the card fighting another.
And when are you heading out?
Wednesday. We'll be doing one of our shows on Thursday from there. Also, Will John Mindoro, who's the middleweight knockout specialist from the Philippines, and Coriano Torres fighting Jordan White, which would have been a main event on any one of these cards in the past. So dude, that's $5. That entire card is good.
Yeah, you got to find value. So you talk about
you talk about the pricing. It's like it's wrong price. You're getting these fights that are like, well, we got to step it up. Well, ProBox TV is trying to do that.
You know what was free on Friday night? Amanda Serrano versus Lucrecia Benzor on TikTok Live.
TikTok.
Your boy hosted the first ever TikTok Live boxing event, man.
You were the oldest guy on the entire broadcast. No disrespect.
I felt disrespected by that.
I mean,
but hey, one of the girls thought I was 28.
You're older than Jake. You're older than
Sophie. Thought I was 28.
Sophie Rain.
Yep.
Well, I mean, she's 12, so
she was 28. Maybe her eyes. I don't know. Maybe she had a bit. She couldn't see. Anyway. I'll get to Amanda Serrano first. I thought she was in tough, man. She's showing her age. She's showing the mileage. She's fought three times now in the last 8 months. All three opponents under the age of 28. She was supposed to come in here and take out Menzor. It was hyped up to be the record-breaking night to eclipse Christy Martin. And from the opening bell, Amanda looked really slow. Her legs were not there. She never really moved her head to begin with in her career, and she was getting hit hard. Like, she was not moving her head from the opening bell. And she had to dig deep which I thought it would have been a draw, would have been fine. Wow. Like, I would have been, if they said a draw, I would have said, yes, that's fair. For her to win eight rounds, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. And it made for some awkward moments as I was calling this fight with her entire team an inch away from me. But I'm a professional, damn it. And I had a TikToker to my left screaming. And I'm trying to call the fight, whatever. Amanda, she didn't look good. And I think she should seriously consider retiring, because what else does she have to accomplish besides the knockout record?
Well, she has the knockout record, which...
She's got 50 wins. You made so much money. Like, your health. She got tagged all night long, dude.
Yeah.
38.
I'm going to say I did go to sleep. I didn't see the fight. I had family in town, so I was not...
Well, I just told you what happened. She just got hit from the opening bell.
No, I woke up to texts that were like, Amanda Serrano is fighting a negative 3,000 and getting whipped. And I was like, oof.
Scored four losses, Manzor. She came to fight. I'll give her that, Manzor. She was tough, and she's ranked second by the WBO. But this was supposed to be a not supposed to go this way.
Arturo Gatti used to always say that. He goes, everybody I fight is the best version of themselves fighting me. Amanda's dealing with that. Everyone that fights Amanda is going to be the tip-top version of that person every single time. Because she's a goat. A quote. In terms of women's boxing, she's
damn right.
One of the best who's ever done it. And so every one of them is going to bring it. And everyone wants to be the one that just gets over the hump. Oh, she was just too old that time, and I beat her. Everyone wants to be that.
You know what you say, oh, if a fighter gets old overnight, fighter gets old overnight. Like, that's what happened here. Like, we saw a fighter get old overnight. We saw wars with Katie Taylor. Wars before that, sparring. 15, 20 years of hard sparring that Amanda Serrano does. Hard training, fighting three times in 8 months at age 38 is very admirable, but there are going to be some repercussions. And the repercussions were not being able to get out of a way from a 1-2 from Lucretia Manzor, who fought her heart out. I would love to see Manzor fight again. The TikTok aspect of the night was pretty impressive, because they're saying 3.5 million viewers. I opened up the app at one point during the show, and I saw 3.5 million people were watching it. I don't know what exactly that means. I don't know if they tune in for a second. I don't know how long. But there were a ton of eyeballs on this card, which normally would have not been there. And I was talking to a lot of the fighters. They were ecstatic. Like, Brooke Cibrian versus Lupita Medina was watched by millions of people, and it was an awesome fight. Blood and guts. Like, Mayeli Flores versus Melissa Mortensen, which was a title fight. Which
Mayeli
normally
Flores
be...
is good. I know more than Mayeli.
Awesome fight, too. They were going blood and guts. Like, Jamal Harvey, U.S. Olympian.
That, he's good.
He got a highlight reel knockout in front of a lot of people. Yes, it was controversial, and yes, we had TikTokers and OnlyFans, and there's a lot of people throwing their criticism my way. Oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. The fighters were thrilled. They got to show off in front of a bigger audience. And if a few of those people that were watching decide, I want to watch Jamal Harvey again, or I'll watch the next MVP card, or maybe not, it was a success, like, whether they like it or not. Like, a lot of people tuned in, and it was something different from my standpoint. One of the harder assignments, calling a fight with people that had no idea what boxing was. But I think all in all, it was a net positive, and more people saw boxing that night. And I think, isn't that like what we're trying to do here in a dying sport?
Anything that get eyes on our sport is a good thing. And I think did I tell this on the show the other day where I talked to a kid at the PAL, and he was like, I was like, who's your favorite boxer? And he said, Jake Paul. And I was like, okay, guy's not an actual real boxer. I mean, but I guess he is. He actually is a real boxer. But I was like, oh, I mean, okay.
He's going to make his impact as a promoter.
But he's making an impact as a fighter, too. This kid I asked him who his favorite fighter was. I didn't ask who his favorite promoter was. He would never know who a promoter is. I asked his favorite fighter, and he said Jake Paul. And I was like, holy shit, this kid, this actually does work. So TikTok, if we're getting eyes on our sport, if the Sophie Reigns of the world can get her millions of toe fetish jerk-offs to tune in... to a boxing match and figure out
I'm losing my voice to begin with. That threw me for a loop there.
and figure out who, you know, Jamal Harvey is. Like, I'm like, okay, cool.
It was streaming on her TikTok as well. It was streaming on Jake's, hers, and MVP's.
Yeah, I'm sure guys who were looking for her feet shut that off real quick. But it doesn't matter.
Like,
some will stick.
There were a few that were like, wait, all right, Sophie's live. Click on it. Where are the feet? Did you see my face in the middle talking about Maley Flores' right hook?
He's like, who's this guy? Ugh.
Get this guy out of here. I didn't know what to expect heading in, like in terms of the girls I was sitting with. But I would say Sophie is, she was like willing to learn. Like she wanted to know about boxing. She respected the fighters,
all they go through.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, she's wise beyond her years.
She's 14, 13, 12, 11?
23, oh. I want to say. 22. Don't quote me on any of this. I don't know how old she is.
I don't know.
MVP pushes the envelope. Like, I've done some pretty cool stuff with them, whether it was the Jake Joshua fight party, being a part of Tyson Paul, MMA stuff, streaming with Rampage, and now a TikTok event. So, like, they're trying. Like, they're trying to get the younger crowd. That was the main goal.
They're not trying. They're doing, dude. They're doing. This is all working.
That's why I had a lot of people just – I saw the mentions. I saw some people that I respect, like, tweeting, like, what is this? Who else out there? What other promotion is trying to get the younger crowd? I understand
the OnlyFans
aspect of it was you're upset with that. But they're also TikTok. They're also known for other things.
I'm not upset with anything, but I am going to leave the podcast soon because you're becoming this guy, and I gotta like go somewhere else and do my own thing.
What do you mean I'm becoming this guy? It's a one time thing.
No, it's not. You're gonna be doing this forever.
Well, I don't know what they're gonna do next. I don't know what influencer they'll bring in next. But point is,
well, we're trying. Tell them to hire me. By the way, bring me on.
All right, let's go.
I'm in. I told you I had nice things to say about it. I'm not against any of this. I think this is all great.
Dude, we're in a position in the sport where you have to think outside the box. Like, it's gotten to the point where you have to get more eyeballs on it.
The sport needs this. And I think Jake Paul and MVP Promotions are doing such a goddamn good job with looking for different ways to get eyes on our sport because we need it so bad. We need young eyes. And we didn't know how to do it for such a long time. And when I say we, I'm saying the old guard. I'm an old guy. I'm part of the old guard. I'm part of the top rank, Bob Arum. You know, that's where I come from.
Right.
They don't know how. They think Twitter is like the end all be all. Like, we're on TikTok, guys. Now, like, MVP has done a fantastic job of getting influencers and different platforms to develop the sport or develop the eyes that are on the sport. I think it's a really good idea.
It's not just getting the young eyes, too. That's a big part of it. It's just making the sport more accessible. That was the main thing. All we kept saying all week was, like, how easy it is to access the fight. Because what's the number one thing, I think, the number one problem with boxing these days is the double paywall of DAZN. No one has DAZN.
Used to be a cheap sport.
Hardcores have it. It's no longer on television, boxing. It's no longer on linear TV outside of a few MVP cards on ESPN.
I spent $79 to watch TFUBA last night.
I think that's the main thing, is if they can get some boxing to be more accessible and we can see the Brooke Cibrians, so you have no clue who they are.
Is it accessible or accessible?
Both.
Okay.
Both, Chris. Both. That's how serious. That's the position we're in right now. That's how dire it is. I'm doing TikTok dances.
Accessible.
You should be thanking me, everybody, that I taught those TikTokers boxing.
You know what?
Thanking me.
I was talking shit. I was gonna fire you. Now I'm on board.
All right, thank you.
I still might leave though.
All right. we'll try to get you on board. I don't know how many more of these I got in me in terms of the TikTok events. We can
rotate in and out so you can get a reprieve, and then I'll be sick of it, and then you'll be sick of it, and then
I'm open to hearing what they have to do next. All right, everyone, have a good week. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the big time. Pro box card. We got Moses Atalma, Felix Hergovic, which should be
a IBF title.
Yeah, so we got a lot coming down the pipeline. We'll get into September, final quarter of the year. So have a good one. We'll be back. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Let your Sophie reign.